This is Audible.
Simon & Schuster Audio presents Love Him or Leave Him, But Don't Get Stuck with the Tab, Hilarious Advice for Real Women by Lonnie Love with Janine Amber. Read by Lonnie Love.
Introduction. I first felt the thrill of entertaining back in 1972 when I was crowned Little Miss Detroit. At the pageant, I hit the stage in patent leather shoes and a starched pink dress. But I had so many braids in my hair that my tiara slid right off my head. When I bent down to pick it up, I slipped and landed on my behind. Everyone burst out laughing, but instead of feeling embarrassed, I jumped up with a huge smile on my face. I realized that day that making people laugh makes me happy. In fact, it's the very reason I left my job as an engineer to become an entertainer. That's right, people. Most people don't know I used to be an engineer, but I was the worst engineer in America. In fact, I'd like to extend a personal apology to anyone driving a 1992 Cutlass. That was one of the projects I worked on before leaving the field to pursue my dream of being a comic. There's only one thing I love as much as making people laugh, and that's giving advice. Ask anyone who's received one of my love lessons, and they'll tell you, I have a special gift. I've always had a good head on my shoulders. I grew up in the Brewster Douglas housing projects in Detroit, baby, during the height of the crack epidemic. The streets were filled with drug dealers and prostitutes. Coming up in such a rough environment, a girl had to be tough and street smart just to survive. I saw firsthand what happens to women who are foolish in love or just plain foolish. When I was a teenager, Peaches was one of my very best friends. Peaches had a smile that lit up her face, and she could do some hair. When we were seniors in high school, Peaches started dating a new guy from the neighborhood. Now, Peaches would brag that her boyfriend was a businessman. I tried to tell her the truth. Her 16-year-old boo was slinging crack, but Peaches didn't care. Living in the projects could be depressing, and her boyfriend gave her a taste of the glamorous life. He was buying her clothes, taking her to fancy restaurants in downtown Detroit, and driving her around in this snow-white Mercedes Benz. I didn't want any parts of what Peach's boyfriend was into, so I began to distance myself from my friend. This was a big sacrifice for me because Peaches would do my Jerry curl for free. One night, I was doing my homework at about 11 o'clock when I heard the blast of gunfire. It was common to hear shots fired in the projects, but that night was different. This sound sent a chill through my veins. A few hours later, there was a knock at my door with a neighbor bringing the news. My best friend Peaches was dead. She was sitting outside with her boyfriend when she was hit with a bullet that I'm sure was meant for him. For all those occasions she had done my hair, I did hers one last time for her funeral. She was only 17. Peach's death taught me an important life lesson. Too many women make sacrifices to be with men. I've seen friends compromise their safety, dignity, money, and even happiness for the sake of a relationship. But I've seen enough. Now, I made it my personal mission to remind women that we need to put ourselves first. I learned this lesson up close and personal watching my single mother manage her dating life. After her divorce, my mother, Mama Love, had plenty of boyfriends, but she refused to take crap from anyone. I remember one time one of her boyfriends, Mr. Herbert, was living with us, and Mama Love found out he cheated on her with Miss Bernice, the Bible study teacher. The next day, his clothes and his Bible were out in the trash. Her philosophy was, no woman has to put up with second-rate treatment. Someone better will always come along. Never be a side dish, Mama Love would say. Always be the main course. It's a lesson I always took to heart. I remember the year my friends and I were all set to graduate from high school. All the girls in my class were losing their minds worrying about who was going to take them to the prom. They were getting together in the rec center after school for powwows and conferences. And they were like, if Jimmy doesn't ask me by the end of Wednesday, I'm moving on to plan B and getting with the cousin of the friend of his brother who's not as cute but has a nicer car. You know, they were schedules, deadlines, backup plans, and emergency ditch plans, you know, if the night didn't go as well. It was ridiculous. I told my friends, you need to worry about yourselves. Focus on your priorities, like how you gonna pay for that prom dress. I don't mean to suggest I didn't have my own share of boy trouble, but back then, my boyfriend Mac was the love of my life. Oh, but I decided we weren't gonna have sex because I was saving myself for marriage. Of course, that was before I realized I would be living in a co-ed dorm in college. Even though I wasn't giving it up, Mac promised me he would take me to the prom, and I believed him. Well, a few weeks before the dance, Mac hooked up with my neighbor, Tisha. Oh, I was mad. Of course, I dumped his cheating ass. But I found myself with no date and a beautiful hoop dress that made me look like an extra from the production of Gone with the Wind. After a few days of being down in the dumps, I picked myself up and decided that me and my hoop dress would go to the prom alone. That's when the phone rang. It was Mac's best friend, Albert. He heard that Mac and I had broken up and was wondering if I would be his date for the prom. I could still remember the shocked look on Mac's face when his friend Albert and I walked into the dance looking like a black Rhett Butler and his date, Hattie McDaniel. It was a perfect night, and the moment when I first realized my mother was right. If you refuse to accept being treated poorly, something better will come along. There's no need to compromise who you are just to be with a man. Because of my attitude and my confidence, I quickly became the girl who all the other girls went to for advice. I was the one who would listen to their problems and tell them what to do when they had nowhere else to turn. Love them or leave them, I'd say, but don't get stuck with the tab, meaning respect and protect yourself so you don't end up with an STD, a broken heart, or a 2-year friends and family plan you can't get out of. That's the truth right there. 20 years later, I'm still spreading the same message to my fans. People see me on TV or they come out to my comedy shows and they feel like they know me. People approach me in airports, in ladies' rooms, and in the street, talking to me like we're old friends. I don't mind it. I'm their long-lost sister. I get it. I'm like the one with the answers to all their problems, even though we never met. One time, a woman came up to me after the show, introduced herself as Allison, and she said, Lonnie, can I ask you something? Now, I thought Allison wanted me to elaborate on my why I hate anal sex joke. I get that question a lot. Instead, she was seeking advice about her relationship with her husband. The two of them hadn't been intimate for 5 years. You seem like a really grounded person, she said. I really want your opinion. Although I was only half sober, I listened, considered her problem, and gave her the best advice I could. I suggested she try to spark the flame by trying some great sex tips I picked up from my friend Lisa, who used to work in the business as a dancer. You know what I mean. And if that didn't work, I suggested she try a sex therapist. I knew plenty of professionals to recommend thanks to my friendship with my boo, Dr. Drew. And if that didn't work, I suggested Allison think about ending the marriage because she and her husband sounded more like friends than lovers. And I pointed out, her kitty cat wasn't getting any younger. After I talked, I could see the relief on Allison's face. It was as though she really just wanted to hear someone tell her that her needs were important. As a thank you, she bought me a shot of Hennessy, and we've been friends ever since. I have hundreds of thousands of fans on Facebook and Twitter, and sometimes it feels as though each one of them is asking for advice. People have consulted me about their sex lives, their health, their kids, and their spouses. A few women have asked how I got to be so confident. Most of all, I get questions about relationships. How do I meet a man? How do I know if I'm ready for marriage? When can I sleep with my ex's best friend? I love my fans, but some of y'all got issues. Listen to me. You can love them or you can leave them, but always remember that putting yourself first is the most important step in finding love. That's the foundation for all the advice I give. Because it's a message so many women need to hear over and over, like multiple orgasms. Now, in the following chapters, you'll find some of the most popular, crazy, and dumbass questions I've ever been asked. Plus, Some I made up just for fun because while I was drinking my Hennessy one night, it occurred to me that someone should be asking if it's okay to date your mother's ex. For the record, I don't care how fine a man is. Once he's had your mama, he's off limits. My own mother taught me that. As soon as I started dating, Mama Love explained her loyalty hierarchy. Family comes first, then friends, then rounding up third place are men. I learned just how important it is to put your family first after watching two sisters duke it out during a Thanksgiving dinner fiasco. What were they fighting over? A man, of course. You'll hear all the sister-on-sister throwdown in Chapter 9. In Chapter 5, you'll hear words of my wisdom for the woman who thinks her boyfriend is picking fights just to have makeup sex. And in Chapter 6, I'll give tips to the wife who is wondering if she should confess to her husband exactly how much fun she had on her Caribbean girlfriend's getaway. Most of my advice comes from personal experience. There's a time I went on a double date with my friend Lisa, who talked so much she scared off our dates. Or the night my wig blew right off in the middle of a romantic dinner cruise. You'll even hear plenty about my cousin Skillet. Everyone has a cousin Skillet in the family. He's the relative who never seems to have the kind of job that can be discussed in front of children or law enforcement. Cousin Skillet might not be everyone's idea of a great catch, but as far as I'm concerned, everybody can teach you something about love and life. Even if the lesson is, don't do what I do unless you want to end up on TMZ. So curl up with your fuzzy slippers and a cup of tea, or if you're like me, a stiff nightcap and a Hennessy chaser, and enjoy Love 'Em or Leave 'Em, but don't get stuck with the tab. Great love advice, hilarious stories, and plenty of laughter awaits. Yes! And if you still want more, I'd be happy to fix you up with my cousin Skillet. He's available. Chapter 1, Meeting Up. One of the things I love about the single life is that you get to go on a lot of first dates. Oh, yes. I know many women dread going out with a new guy for the first time. The nerves, the awkward conversation, the not knowing if you should order lobster because he might be a cheap ass and expect you to go Dutch. It's true. Some first dates can be awful. Like those times you go to a fancy restaurant and your date spends more time asking the cocktail waitress about her inner thigh tattoo than talking to you. Or you tell him you admire the relationship he has with his mother, and he says, great, because I invited her to join us. But instead of facing first dates with dread, consider each and every one a great opportunity to gather information while getting a free meal. On a first date, a man will tell you almost everything you need to know about what kind of person he is. You just need to stay sober enough to remember the next day, unlike me. The next time you're on a first date, look around the room. If you're in a restaurant and notice that every woman there, from the coat check girl to the manager, is giving your date dirty looks, then consider yourself warned. He probably owes them money or a phone call or both. When I want to know what kind of man I'm dealing with, I look at his shoes. If he's wearing some nice hard-sole shoes, I know he's solid, dependable, and is probably the type of man to carry a condom in his wallet. If he's wearing sneakers, that's okay, as long as they're clean and have laces. I don't trust a man that wears shoes that close with Velcro. That's just lazy. Now, if he shows up for dinner wearing flip-flops, you better run for the heels. A man who wears flip-flops to dinner doesn't take anything seriously. He's the kind of man who will make fart jokes when you're trying to tell him about your horrible day at work, or laugh at you if you trip and fall on your ass before he checks to see if you're okay. Trust me. Even if you have a cushiony ass like mine's, falling on your behind hurts. The last thing you need is your man laughing at you like he's a 5-year-old at the circus. You want a man who treats you like a prize, not a clown. Oh, I'm gonna tell some truth today. The other great thing about first dates is that they give you a chance to refine your first date look. That's the outfit and hairstyle that makes you feel most comfortable, beautiful, and confident. Even if you think your date might be a dud, it's still a great opportunity to try out a new look. Get a new weave or buy yourself a dress that exposes, show off your best assets. You know what I mean, girl. For example, you might not know this about me, but I have exquisite knees. So whenever I go out on a date, I always wear a skirt that shows them off. When I was growing up, Mama Love always used to tell me, don't hide your light under a bushel. Well, the same can be said about dating. Don't hide your best features under a tent dress. You got good cans? Show the girls. Well-toned arms? Wear a tube top. You're going on a date, not a Bible study. Most important of all, on a first date, pay attention to the way the man treats you. Does he give you undivided attention, or does he check his cell phone every 10 minutes? Does he order his meal before you, or patiently wait until you ask for the waiter to list all the ingredients on every dish? Does he seem interested in what you have to say, or does he constantly change the topic to sex and when he's going to get some? Even the way he walks down the street with you says a lot. A man who walks side by side with a woman sees her as his equal. A man who walks ahead expects to run the show. And a man who lags behind, well, that's an ass man. If you built like Sofia Vergara, then congratulations, girl. You might have met your Mr. Right. How many times can I call him before he thinks I'm crazy? Everything you need to know about first impressions, first dates, and the a-hole who never called you back. Dear Lonnie, I'm a teacher. I go to school, come home, go to bed, and start the whole thing all over again. I feel like life is passing me by. Any advice for how I can get back into the swing of things? Sign, getting an F in fun. Oh, getting an F in fun. Honey, life is too short to spend it grading papers. But I understand how easy it is to get caught up with work. I'm a road comic. Every week, Thursday through Sunday, I perform at night, do press during the day, and try to catch some sleep. Then I do it all over again the next week in a different city. It's got to a point when I was on the road so much that even my good friends stopped calling me. In fact, the only time my phone rang was when the telemarketers called. One time, it was a saleswoman who was trying to sell me a sex aid. I didn't need a fake penis, but the sales lady and I struck up a great conversation. I had no idea dildos came in so many different shapes, colors, and sizes. I was like, dang! As nice as Sally the salesperson was, when I got off the phone, I realized it was time to make some changes. I needed to find time for a social life and to meet a man with a real penis. Now when I travel to another city, I make a point of meeting a friend who lives there for lunch. And when I come home, I schedule dinner dates, brunches, and get-togethers with all my other friends. These small steps have really improved my quality of life. It feels good to know that when the phone rings, it's a friend and not someone trying to sell me a two-for-one deal on a pleasure stick. I'm up for dinner, movies, or skydiving. Lonnie Love's three-step plan for having fun. Step 1. Write a list of 10 activities you can do alone that makes you feel good. List A. Here's a few examples. Fantasize about George Clooney. Fantasize about Denzel Washington. Eat chicken and waffles. Try a new recipe. Walk in the park sober. Walk in the park drunk. Cook some bacon. Get a free makeover at an expensive makeup counter. Study Albert Einstein's theory of relativity. You know I'm a former engineer. Last thing, break dance. Step 2. Write a list of 5 fun activities that include other people. List B. Here's my list. Go to the basketball court to watch fine-ass men play. Roller skating. There's nothing like a big girl on wheels. Going to church when the men's choir is singing. Going to brunch with my gay friends. They had the best gossip. Doing the Harlem Shake with the neighborhood kids. Step 3. Each week, you take 2 things from the list A and list B and put them together for a fun-filled plan of action. So here's what I did this month. Week 1, I walked in the park sober while fantasizing about George Clooney, then went to the basketball court to watch fine-ass men play ball. Week 2, walked in the park drunk after eating chicken and waffles, then went roller skating. Week 3, got a free makeover and ate some bacon, then I did the Harlem Shake with the neighborhood kids. Week 4, fantasized about Denzel Washington while breakdancing, then went to brunch with my gay friends and discussed the theory of relativity. Good luck! Dear Lonnie, every day I ride the train to work, and almost every day I see the same good-looking man on the platform. Ooh, girl, I know. Ooh, I can relate. Recently, he's begun to say hello. How do I send him the message that I'd like to get to know him better? Signed, Lonely on the Train. Dear Lonely, let me get this straight. You're hot for a guy you see on the train every morning, but after several months, you've only managed to say hello. Honey, you wasted valuable time. The first thing you need to do is strike up a conversation. The easiest way to do this is by observing your man for clues about things he might like to discuss. Notice how I already claimed him as yours, girl. Mm-hmm. For instance, if he's reading the sports section, ask him what he thought of the game last night. Even if you don't know much about sports, just smile and nod like you understand everything he's saying. But whatever you do, don't comment if you don't know what you're talking about. I once heard a desperate girl at a sports bar say to a dude, "I can't wait to see Venus Williams play her sister at the Super Bowl this year." It's also a good idea to ask a guy a question he might not have heard before. Don't be afraid to be creative, girl. Ask him if he believes in Bigfoot, or if he's ever made his own granola, or how long can he hold his breath. The point is to get the man talking. Sometimes when I meet a guy, I'll look him straight in the eye and ask, "So where do you think I need plastic surgery?" Last time I did this, the guy looked thrilled. "Excellent question," he said. Then he told me I should consider a nose job, liposuction, and a chin implant for starters. I cussed him out, and he explained it wasn't personal. He's a plastic surgeon. After he finished sharing his professional opinion, he handed me a flyer for a 2-for-1 at the buffet restaurant near his office, and he asked me if I'd like to go out sometime. I turned him down and slid the coupon in my purse. It just goes to show you, ask a man a good question, and sooner or later, you're going to get a free meal. Is that a pork sausage in your pocket? Lonnie loves conversation starters. Are those your real teeth? What do I have to do to get you to change my oil and oil me down? Do you think I need a bra with this dress? Is there any good porn for old people? I want to surprise my grandma. I usually drink my wine out of a plastic cup. Do you think I should switch to paper for the environment? How many strawberry wine coolers until you're drunk enough for me to take advantage of you? Do you think I could fit this entire banana in my mouth? Try those, y'all. Dear Lonnie, I went out to dinner with a man who left a $5 tip on a $70 bill. I've never gone out with a bad tipper before. What do you think this means? Signed, Stun. Dear Stun, this means your date's a cheap ass. As far as I'm concerned, this is a clear signal that this man is not good boyfriend material, and I'm speaking from experience. Let me tell you, I once dated a cheap ass. On our first date, he stiffed the waitress. I thought it was a mistake. But soon enough, his cheap ass had me treating him like his personal Walmart. He would drop by just to borrow my household supplies. He'd take a little Tupperware container and fill it with laundry detergent. Then he'd pull off half a roll of toilet paper. Then he'd take a kitchen knife and slice himself a piece of my soap. I tried to ignore it because he had a big dick, but it got worse. One day, I caught him backing up his car and loading the trunk with a box of laundry detergent and my economy packs of toilet paper. Then he went into my garage, took the garden hose, and siphoned gas right out of my gas tank when I was still in my car. Looking back, I think he only dated me so he could shop in my house. The bottom line is, don't date a cheap ass if you're looking for love. As Mama Love always says, a man who doesn't tip well doesn't appreciate other people's hard work. That kind of man surely won't appreciate you. He's a perfect boyfriend if your name is Chad. Lonnie Love's guide to your man's true nature. Now, if he yells at his mother, then he's a jerk. If he yells at his baby's mama, then he is a broke jerk. If he opens the door and walks in before you, then he will not satisfy you in bed and won't even notice there's a problem. If he is rude to the waiter, then he has a small penis. If he calls you dude, then he is too young for you. If he is constantly buying you lingerie, then he wears it when you're not at home. If he always asks what you're wearing so he can coordinate his outfit to yours, then he wishes you were his gay best friend. If he yells at the dry cleaner, then he only owns one suit. If he is rude to his child's teacher, then he may not be able to read. If he forgets your birthday, then he considers you a side piece. Don't know about you, but the only sides I like are beans and rice. I'm a main course baby, and you should be too, girl. Dear Lonnie, I reconnected with an old elementary school friend on Facebook, and we've begun dating. He seems to have led a pretty normal life in the 20 years since we last saw each other. I, on the other hand, ran away from home at 15 and did a lot of crazy things of which I'm sure my new man wouldn't approve. How do I tell him about my checkered past without scaring him off? Signed, Wild Child. Dear Wild Child, This reminds me of the time I went on a blind double date with my friend Lisa. Now, Lisa is a former exotic dancer who is now a successful lawyer. With no student loans to pay off, I might add, thanks to her skills on the pole, girl. The evening started with cocktails. But after Lisa told a story that ended up with her exclaiming, "And now the doctors say I'm totally not contagious," Lisa's date excused himself to use the restroom. Shortly after, his friend, with whom I had made this elaborate imaginary plans for later that evening, received an emergency call that he had to take outside. Neither of them came back to the table. They also left us with the bill, which really pissed me off. I wouldn't have ordered a third shot of Patron if I'd known I'd had to pay for it. It's always difficult to know how a man is going to respond to your past. You don't have to go into detail, but I'm guessing your younger days included at least one relationship with a guy with a tattoo on his face. Can you really blame your man for being concerned? He's probably thinking, a tattoo on his face? I thought I was a badass getting this dolphin tattoo on my lower back. It really hurt. The good news is, some men are so confident, they don't care what you did before you met them. They might even joke about it, like, "Hey, babe, isn't that the guy from your sex tape?" Right now, we don't know what kind of man you're dealing with. The easiest way to find out is to casually mention something from your past and see how he reacts. For instance, you might be out at dinner and hear some music in the background. "I like this song," you might say. "It reminds me of the time I went to a swingers party, then looked down at your menu. The salmon looks good." Now the ball is in his court. Does he lean forward with wide eyes and a smile and say, "I hope you use protection"? Or does he start quoting Bible verses? Everything you need to know about this man will be revealed by his response. If he doesn't freak out, you can serve up a little more information, like about the stint you did in maximum security prison. The key is not to reveal too much too soon. And if this guy can't get past your past, then cut him loose. And as Lionel Richie sings, sail on! He won't change his opinion of you, and you'll make yourself crazy trying to get him to accept you. Good luck. Dear Lonnie, I met this guy who spends a lot of time with his ex. Uh-oh. He says she's one of his best friends. My girlfriends say this is a huge red flag, and he's probably still in love. What do you think? Signed, extremely worried. Dear Worry, this reminds me of my Uncle Jimmy, who married his high school sweetheart, then they broke up. Then they remarried, then they broke up again. Then last year, they got married again. I told my Uncle Jimmy, "I love you, but I'm not buying another damn wedding gift." You're probably thinking, what does this have to do with me? Well, in between those three marriages, Uncle Jimmy and his ex were just friends. At least that's what Uncle Jimmy told all the women he was dating. My point is, some exes are really exes, and some exes are simply taking a break. The only way to know for sure if your man still has feelings for his ex is to observe his behavior. Mama Love always used to say, there's no man on the face of the earth able to hide his feelings when he's really in love. Remember that. Remember when Tom Cruise fell in love with Katie Holmes? He jumped all over Oprah's yellow sofa while Oprah looked on in shock. Oprah was probably thinking, why is this boy putting his dirty shoes all over my furniture? Of course, a man's not going to jump up and down and let you know he's still in love with his ex. But that doesn't mean there won't be signs. You just need to know what to look for. If it's really over, why are her panties in your underwear drawer? Lonnie Love signs he's not over his ex. He says he's recently got off his past relationship, but it's been 5 years. He keeps her baby picture as a background image on his cell phone. She calls, and he acts like it's coming from the Oval Office and takes the phone in the other room. He does her yard work for free, but makes you pay for a gardener. They have a complicated custody agreement for their dog. He calls you by her name and doesn't realize it. Uh-oh. His mother calls you by her name and doesn't realize it. Oh, the fighting words. He gets moody after he reads her Facebook status. Then you hear him in the next room muttering, how come she never asked me to go to Six Flags? He sits you down and tells you, I'm not over my ex. Dear Lonnie, I've fallen madly in love with my boss. I know nothing can happen. He's happily married, and I totally respect that. But how can I stop obsessing over a man I could never be with? Signed, obsessed with the best. Dear Obsessed, girl, I know how you feel. I feel the same way about my boo, Dr. Drew. Let me tell y'all, I met Dr. Drew years ago when I did his radio show. He pronounced a big medical word for me, and I was hooked. Plus, he gives me free medical advice and a lollipop anytime I want. Now, it's hard to stop thinking about someone you've decided is possibly your soulmate. Just like you, there were times when all I could do was think about Dr. Drew. It's especially bad on days when I'm suffering with a medical emergency, like a splinter or a case of indigestion. But face it, your boss, like my happily married Dr. Drew, is off limits. He will never be with you. And if he did leave his wife to be with you, he wouldn't be the perfect person you think he is. He would be a cheater, and you would be a homewrecker. And I think we all know how that story turns out. Before you know it, the two of you would be just like Bradgelina, adopting babies from all over the world to get people to like you. You need to break yourself out of this fantasy, girl. Take a piece of paper and write, "My boss is married, he's off limits." On a separate piece of paper, list the things that make you and your crush incompatible. For instance, Dr. Drew specializes in helping people with addictions. Now, I'm not an addict, but I do like to take the edge off. I'm pretty sure Dr. Drew would not approve of me drinking a fifth of Hennessy with Leroy in the game like I do every weekend. This is what you call lifestyle incompatibility. For me, that's a deal breaker. Now, take your two pieces of paper, attach them to your bathroom mirror, read them out loud every day before you go to work. You need your brain to recategorize this man from potential love interest to someone else's husband who is not my soulmate and whose wife knows karate and might kill me in my sleep. But this situation isn't all bad. In fact, it's a perfect opportunity for you to identify what you're looking for in a partner. Make a list of 10 things you admire about your boss. The list might start off with something like, "I love my boss's integrity, ambition, family values, silver hair, good, clean smell." At the bottom of the page, write in big block letters, "Must be single and ready to mingle." Now you have a master list of what you want in a man. Looking for a man without a master list is like going to the supermarket without a grocery list. You risk coming home with a shopping cart full of ho-hos and ding-dongs. Let your master list be your guide. Let's say you meet a man who dazzles you with a great smile and muscles. Look at your master list. Right there it says, "Must be a vegetarian." What does this good-looking guy do? He smokes his own meat in his backyard. You might think, "We can make it work," or "Opposite attract," or "I'll get him to change." Girl, please, stick to your master list. The list never lies. Must cook bacon. This is my personal master list for me. 1, he must be tall. 2, he knows how to give a compliment. 3, he loans me money, but knows he won't get it back. 4, he does not exceed a maximum of 1 baby mama. 5, he does not drink Hennessy, so there's more for me. 6, knows how to clear my pipes. You know what I'm talking about. 7, does not mind sitting in the middle seat on an airplane while I sleep on him. 8, can find the United States on a map. You'd be surprised how many people can. Dear Lonnie, I went to lunch with a guy I met online and had a really awesome time. After our date, I sent him a text saying, "Thanks." He didn't reply. So the next day, I called and left a message. I left another message at his office. Then I sent him another text asking if he was okay because he wasn't returning my calls. I was planning to go by his work to check on him. My friends say I'm being a stalker. What do you think? Signed, "I want a call back." Dear callback, woman, pull yourself together. He has your number. He sees the text. He hears the messages. He's choosing not to respond. I know, because I react the same way when I get calls and texts from my friends who are asking me for money. While the first date was good for you, awesome date obviously has something else going on in his life. It may be his job, his kids, his parents, another girl or guy. Who knows? I once met a man at a club. He took my number. Didn't call me for 7 weeks. When I asked him what took him so long, he says, "I got a new TV. I've been busy watching it." Men have all kinds of stupid reasons for not calling back. All you need to know is that whatever is going on with Awesome Date, it is more important than getting back to you. You need to move on. You can't be putting more energy into the relationship than he is. The upside is you're a girl who doesn't give up. Why don't you try directing that energy towards something more productive than getting a return phone call from an idiot who doesn't know your worth? There are charities, community events, and male strip clubs that need your time. You've been focusing on a man who won't call you back, and meanwhile, a stripper named Chocolate Thunder is waiting on you. Good luck. Dear Lonnie, I went on a blind date with a very handsome man and drank way too much. I'm totally mortified, but I do like this guy. Do you think I can call him again? Sign, Over the Limit. Dear Over, well, 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 you became Lushy Lucy on the first date. Have no fear, I know just what to do. Your question is really a variation of a question I've heard a million times before. How do I reclaim my dignity after I've embarrassed myself? I guess people think I'm an expert on embarrassment. As a matter of fact, they are right. Let me tell you about this. One time, a date took me on a very romantic dinner cruise. We were sitting on the deck of the ship, staring into each other's eyes. The sun was setting, and there was a gentle breeze. Suddenly, that wind kicked up. Before I knew what was happening, a giant gust blew my wig right off. But if I had remembered to put a few extra hairpins before leaving the house, I would have avoided the wig and the wind incident. Instead, I was caught out there with a tiny afro looking like Florida Evans from Good Times. My date stared at me in horror, but I remained calm. Yes, I did. I simply undid the scarf I had tied around my neck, tied it to my little fro like a black Grace Kelly, and kept eating. Hell, it was a free dinner. I wasn't about to stop just because my hair blew off. If you want to get over your embarrassment, you have to do exactly as I did. Act like it's no big deal. You got drunk, so what? Simply text Mr. Handsome Doctor. I guess I overdid it with the drinking. Thank you so much for being such a gentleman. Was he a gentleman, or did he take the opportunity to give you a breast exam? Who knows? You sure don't. But it doesn't matter. The point is, after an embarrassment, you're responsible for setting the tone. Act like drunk night was not a big deal, and it'll blow over, just like my wig. Let's talk about naked celebrities. Lonnie loves do's and don'ts for a perfect first date. Don't get high before you go out. If it turns out to be a good date, you want to remember it. Don't drink too much. If you know you're a lightweight, keep it to 2 drinks max. Heavyweight girls like me can handle our booze, but I still like to limit myself to 4 triple shots of Wild Turkey or the moment I start slurring my words, whichever comes first. Don't treat the date like a job interview. Unless you're in the FBI or Secret Service, you don't need to be asking your date a whole bunch of questions about his past. That's what Google is for. Do keep the conversation light. On a first date, it's a good idea to stick to topics like sports, music, and celebrity sex tapes. Which one is your favorite? That always breaks the ice. Do offer to pay for half of the check, but if he accepts your offer, dump him. He's a cheap ass. Chapter 2, Hooking Up. One of the best things about being in a long-term relationship is you get plenty of loving with your soulmate. And one of the best things about being single is you can get plenty of loving with a bunch of people. Either way, sex is available if you want it. The problem is most women don't prepare properly before they get busy. Not preparing for sex is like not planning the seating for Thanksgiving dinner. It can be awkward, messy, and end in tears. Before I get it on, whether it's with a long-term lover or a one-night stand I met at ChristianMingle.com, I always take time to get my head in the game. First, I watch a romantic movie. I like oldies but goodies. One of my favorites is Mahogany, starring Diana Ross and that fine-ass Billy Dee Williams, yes. But you can choose whatever suits your taste. Maybe you get hot and bothered watching Leo and Titanic, or maybe your tastes run more towards something like Justin Bieber. Girl, I'm not going to judge you. Just keep in mind, if the sex with your partner isn't good, you may find yourself fantasizing about the lead in the movie, so stay away from anything featuring a dog or a zombie. Once I'm in the mood, I like to give myself a pre-sex pep talk by telling myself, you is kind, you is smart, you is important. I say it just like Viola did when she played Abilene in The Help. I also like to let the man know what he's in for, or as I like to think of it, give him my list of demands. I might send him a flirty text or whisper something sexual to him over dinner like, I got Viagra if you need it. Of course, if you expect your man to rise to the occasion, you need to do your part to make sex enjoyable for him, and that means making sure you're in peak sex condition. I like to luxuriate in a nice warm bath, rub baby oil all over, and dab my favorite discount designer perfume on. Now, I know what you're saying. But, Lonnie, what if I like having sex in a car or the back of the club or the coat closet of my child's classroom after parent-teacher night? How am I supposed to have a luxurious bath then? That's a good point. Sometimes the magic happens when we least expect it. That's why every sexually active woman should have on her at all times a quickie kit. That's where you keep everything you need for the unexpected sexual encounter. In my kit, I have condoms, some mouthwash, baby wipes, and a pair of dark sunglasses. The shades come in handy when you've been with a man in a dimly lit club and realize on your way out to the car that he's not as handsome as you originally thought. Hide your face, girl. Other times, the best sex happens in the comfort of your own home, or if you travel a lot like I do, in the comfort of a Comfort Inn. Either way, it's important to get your environment sex ready. That means low light, soft music, and a well-stocked bar with plenty of adult beverages. Put fresh sheets on the bed and sprinkle something nice smelling around the pillows. Depending on my date, I either go with lavender water or bacon bits. And don't ignore other rooms in the house. Scatter some unbreakable items like plastic cups and old magazines on the dining room table so when your man sweeps them on the floor ready to ravage you like a Hollywood love scene, you won't be distracted thinking, did this idiot break my crystal salad bowl? But most of all, make sure you're safe. A smart woman should always have plenty of condoms. A little love lesson. Make sure to have condoms in different sizes because not all men are hung alike. But the thing men do have in common is a fragile ego. So what I do is take all the condoms, no matter how big, and put them in a box marked jumbo, extra large, king size. For real, for real. As any woman experienced in the ways of love knows, the best preparation for a good night of sex is letting your man think he's the king. How can I make him stay until breakfast? Everything you need to know about casual sex, kinky sex, and sex with your ex's brother. Because, hey, stuff happens. Dear Lonnie, I met a guy at a bar and we hooked up. He's so cute and funny. I think he might be boyfriend material. My best friend says it's impossible to turn a one-night stand into a relationship. Is she right? Sign, girlfriend material. Dear girlfriend, tell your best friend to stop hating. Women end up having sex with men they barely know for all kinds of reasons. They're horny, had too many cocktails, the sun is up, the moon is out, they're horny, they ate oysters, he smelled like an ex, or they're horny. Some women are just carefree, or as men call them, sluts. Still, one-night stands can create some awkward situations. It's uncomfortable asking a man his name after you just reread a scene from the porn classic, Too Many Holes and Not Enough Time. If you want a relationship, it's much easier if you find out whether you like each other before you get naked. But that doesn't mean turning porn sex into a meaningful romance is impossible. I know, because I've done it myself with a guy I like to call Church Charlie. Let me tell you about Church Charlie. That's how he got his name. I met him at church. I noticed him right away because he put $500 in the offering plate. I was impressed, girl, so I sat next to him and helped him find the scripture for the sermon. Who knew those years of Bible study would help me meet a man? After church, I told him I was cooking Sunday dinner and invited him over. Charlie stayed for dinner and dessert. We had a nightcap and then breakfast. In the morning, instead of getting all lovey-dovey and hugging up with him, I played it cool. I pulled on my PJs, headed to the kitchen, and asked him, "You want some pancakes?" I was nonchalant, and he was intrigued. Plus, I never met a man who didn't like sex and pancakes. Charlie called me the next day, and sure enough, we started dating. The secret of turning a one-night stand into a relationship is that you have to play it cool. Was I really feeling calm and collected the morning I woke up with Charlie? Of course not. I was excited I got some and nervous that Charlie was going to open the drawer on my nightstand and find my well-worn copy of 50 Shades of Grey. That's why I snuck some wild turkey into my morning coffee to calm my nerves. But Church Charlie didn't need to know all of that. Of course, turning a one-night stand into a relationship can only happen if the man is open to having a relationship. If he wakes up and makes a run for the door before you can say, "Would you like some wild turkey in your coffee?" Write him off. Pull out your copy of 50 Shades and keep hope alive. No, you can't give your parole officer my phone number. Lonnie Love signs, your one-night stand has no future. He leaves money on your bedside table. He asks if he can use your phone to call his sex addiction counselor. He calls his mother bragging about the sex you just had. He takes a little black book out and crosses your name off a list. He calls his wife and asks her to come pick him up. He wakes up, looks at you, and says, "Please tell me we didn't just have sex." As he leaves, he asks if he can borrow some clean panties. "Dear Lonnie, I'm a new mother and I haven't felt like having sex since the baby. I can tell my husband is getting impatient, but I just don't feel like being touched. What should I do? Sign, Clothes for Business." "Dear Clothes, this reminds me of when my friend Rosa had her triplets. We were in the labor room with babies coming out of her like she was a clown car. After 46 hours of labor, she swore off sex and demanded a divorce. Of course, not everyone wants to end their marriage after giving birth, but it's perfectly normal to be turned off of sex, at least for a while. Not only did you just push a human being out of your vajayjay, you now have a tiny baby sucking on your milk makers every 2 hours. The last thing you want is your horny husband shoving the baby out of the way so he can get a turn. But remember, your husband has needs too. If you're not up to lovemaking, you need to work a plan to calm your man down. Try giving him a massage complete with a happy ending. Better yet, surprise him with a BJ while he's watching the game. I recommend doing this at home, but his favorite sports bar can also work. For a nice touch, put a bowl of salsa on your back so he can keep on eating his nachos. Nothing says I love you like oral sex and nachos. Not tonight, honey. And before you ask, not tomorrow night either. Lonnie Love's way to show your man you love him without having sex." Rent Scarface, Rocky, and the Godfather trilogy and curl up with him for movie night. Leave a jar of Vaseline on his side of the bed with a couple of naked pictures of yourself. Take him to an outdoor cafe and let him look at women's asses without you getting mad. Flash him a boob every now and then, especially when he's driving. That's encouragement. Challenge him to a game of Call of Duty and then let him win and gloat about it. Give him a bath and finish it off with an old-fashioned hand job. Point to your vagina and say, "Soon." "Dear Lonnie, I'm not looking for a relationship right now. How do I let a man know I'm interested in no strings attached sex? Signed, Hot in the Pants." Girl, you know what kills me? The way men think that every woman they meet is looking for a relationship, as though they are all Prince Charming and we women are all damsels in distress waiting to be saved. Hell no. Men don't realize that sometimes women are busy with other things, like our careers, and we don't have time for a serious relationship. And even if we have the time, some of us just don't want to be locked down. I can relate to this 100%. But being single doesn't mean you have to be celibate. The key to getting no-string sex and a good all-around rule of love is just to be clear what you want and don't send mixed messages. This means no doing things folks in relationships do. Don't call him honey or sweetie. Don't help him strategize about his new business venture or volunteer to be his date at his best friend's wedding. Don't let him meet your mama and don't clean his apartment. And whatever you do, don't ask him questions about his feelings. A man who confides in you is like a dollar store half-off sticker, stuck for good. And if you're so unlucky that he gets emotional and breaks down in front of you, you can bet he'll be showing up at your place the next day with a moving van full of his stuff talking about how you're his soulmate. The bottom line is, don't get personal with a casual sex partner. All you need to know is what size condom he wears. Don't tell me about your day. Just take off your clothes. Lonnie Love's way to let a man know you're only interested in sex. Don't ask his last name or his first. Tell him to make it quick before you have a real day later. After sex, tell him you don't have to go home, but you got to get the hell out of here. After sex, make yourself some pancakes and tell him he can take his ass to the nearest Denny's. Don't allow him to sit on any furniture except your bed. Place a 2-hour countdown clock by your bed. When it buzzes, throw his clothes outside. Dear Lonnie, I date men, but lately I've been having sexual fantasies about my best friend, who happens to be a woman. What does this mean? Signed, by Confused. Dear Confused, there are only two possible explanations for your mental sex capades. One, you're bisexual. Two, you didn't do enough experimenting in college, girl. Whatever the case, you need to proceed with caution. If you put too much pressure on your friend, you might destroy the friendship. I know, because it happened to me. Let me tell you about Stalker Susan. I met her on the comedy circuit when we were both young comics doing open mic nights and trying to make names for ourselves. We quickly became close friends, shopping, hanging out, calling each other to gossip about which comics we thought had big penises. For about a year, everything was cool. Then one night, after a show, Susan suggested we go back to my house and watch a movie. As soon as we got to my place, she complained that it was too bright and started dimming the lights. Then she gave me a big hug and whispered in my ear that she thought she was falling in love with me. I turned the lights back up and told her I was flattered, but I'm straight. I said, if I did like chicks, you'd be on the top of the list, girl, but I don't. So what should we watch on Netflix? I thought that was the end of it. But soon after, I started getting text messages from her saying, I love you and let's move in together. Again, I told her I wasn't interested, but she wouldn't take no for an answer. The next thing I knew, I was being stalked by my best friend. I had to end the friendship, get a new phone number, and find someone else to help me take out my weed. Trust me, you don't want to scare off your friend the way Susan did with me. You can both end up hurt and with bad hair. I suggest you approach the topic in a general way. Ask your friend if she's ever had a girl crush. If she shows some interest, tell her how you feel. On the other hand, if she responds to the idea of girl-on-girl love by digging into the back of her closet and pulling out her Strictly Dickly t-shirt from the 90s, then it's time for you to find someone else to explore your lesbian fantasies with. How about a game of softball? Then I give you a massage. Lonnie Love signed, your girlfriend has a crush on you. You invite her over for dinner, and she shows up with a dozen roses and a vibrator. You tell her you're dating a guy, and she breaks down in tears singing Whitney's I Will Always Love You. You accidentally graze her hand at the movie theater, and she starts licking your neck. You ask her what she wants for her birthday, and she replies, besides you? You say you need a massage, and she comes over with a gallon of oil wearing a strap on. Dear Lonnie, I've been dating this man who is super respectful and polite, which I like. But sometimes when we're having sex, I want him to give me a slap on the ass. How can I tell my man what I like? Signed, Spanky. Dear Spanky, I'm a firm believer that folks should talk about what they like in bed when they are not in bed. Things can go very wrong when you spring your sexual preferences on someone in the heat of passion. Let me tell you, one time I was dating a pilot named Max. Max was a great guy, he was smart, and he let me fly free on his buddy passes. One night we were getting it on, and he looked at me and said, call me master. The problem was, Max is the whitest white man I've ever dated. He looks like one of the white men you see on the TV show Mad Men. Hair parted on one side, crisp gray suit, and an ass so tight he walks like a robot. I thought, he wants me to call him master? Then what? Is he going to start calling me Harriet Tubman? Is he going to ask me to tap dance? Is he going to cut some eye holes in my white bed sheets and start wearing them around the house? I immediately became a civil rights activist in the bed. The action stopped and the speeches began. My point is, it's rarely a good idea to surprise a person with your unconventional sex request when you're doing it. I suggest you tell your man you'd like to be spanked over a romantic dinner. That way, if he's into spanking, the dinner becomes part of the foreplay. And if he isn't into it, you still get a free dinner. Yes, 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 Lonnie Love's Guide to Getting What You Want in Bed. If you like to be choked, then date a wrestler. They know when to stop. If you like to be blindfolded, then date a magician. If you like to be handcuffed, then date a cop. If you like to be spanked, then date a parent. If you like to be with two men at the same time, then date twin brothers. Dear Lonnie, how long before I can sleep with my ex's brother? Sign, on to the next. Dear Next, girl, what did your man do to piss you off? I knew it had to be something because I've seen this behavior before. My friend Liz once logged onto her boyfriend's Facebook account and saw a message from a chick named Samantha asking her boyfriend when they were going to get together because it's been so long. Liz flipped out. She was sure her boyfriend was cheating on her and decided to get revenge by sleeping with her boyfriend's brother, Daryl. I told her I thought it was a terrible idea, but that was mostly because I wanted to sleep with Daryl myself. The morning after Liz and Daryl hooked up, Daryl mentioned that his cousin, Samantha, was visiting from out of town. It turns out this was the woman Liz had seen on her boyfriend's Facebook page. Liz immediately realized she made a huge mistake. She ruined two relationships, hers and a relationship I was planning to have with Daryl. But maybe your intentions are more honorable. Maybe you and your ex's brother have been checking each other out for years and think being together is your true destiny. If that's the case, the two of you need to take your ex to a public place and tell him the truth. If you're lucky, the fear of getting arrested will stop him from punching his brother in the face. Most likely, he'll end up hating both of you, especially you. So before you move forward with the sibling switcheroo, you need to ask yourself, is this worth having my ex update his Facebook status every day for the next year by calling me a hoe? Because I can tell you right now, that's what's going to happen. Dear Lonnie, I went on vacation and had a fling with a man I met on the beach. I didn't even know his last name. I say this doesn't count. My girlfriend says it counts. What do you think? Sign, still a good girl. Dear good girl, honestly, I don't know why some women feel that if the sex is extra slutty, then they need to act like it didn't happen at all. Stop lying to yourself. You had sex. So what? My friend Chelsea has had so many sex partners that even if she wears a snow white dress to church on her wedding day, by the time she gets to the altar, it will look like Darth Vader is gliding down the aisle. But at least she doesn't pretend the sex never happened. As Mama Love likes to say, all sex counts, even if it happens in the mailroom at your office with the guy who pushes the coffee cart. Anyway, you should consider yourself lucky for getting some on vacation. There are a lot of women who will never have sex on the beach unless they order it at the bar. Dear Lonnie, my boyfriend wants to know how many men I've been with before him. I've been with a lot of men. Should I tell him the truth? Sign, been around the block. Dear Ben Around, I have two words for you. Hell no. My friend Linda had a wild past. When Linda got horny and she didn't have a boyfriend, she would just go online and find a random dude to hook up with. I kind of admired how she took charge of her sexuality and her passions. Then Linda fell in love. She was very committed to her boyfriend and thought they were going to be together forever. After 6 months of serious dating, it came time for the big relationship talk. Linda's boyfriend asked how many men she had been with before him, and she told the truth. I don't know what the number was, but it was big enough for her boyfriend to take her off his friends and family plan. Honey, your past is your past. Keep it that way. There is no reason this man needs to know all the details. What do you think he's going to do with the information anyway? I'll tell you what. He's going to imagine that every man you ever introduce him to is one of the 582,899,677 million you slept with in college. He's going to feel bad. You're going to feel bad. And for what? There's no upside. I'm not a big proponent of lying, but in this case, I think a little fib is the best way to end a conversation and move on to more important matters, like where he's taking you for dinner. Next time your boyfriend asks how many men there were before him, just give him a nice low number. A good rule of thumb is to take your real number, divide by 7, and subtract 5. I said, I want a divorce, not I want to give you a blowjob. Lonnie Love's Guide to Men's Faulty Hearing. When women say, I've only been with 3 men before you, when men hear, I have slept with all your friends. When women say, I don't want a relationship, men hear, I want a relationship. When women say, I want a child, men hear, I want child support. When women say, I think I'm pregnant, men hear, I want to trap you. When women say, I want to break up, men hear, I want to get married. When women say, I'm not in love with you anymore, men hear, you have permission to sleep with my best friend. Dear Lonnie, I'm in a serious relationship. How long before we can do it without a condom? Signed, not a fan of latex. Dear not a fan, Mama Love always used to tell me that not using a condom is the biggest mistake a single woman can make. Traveling the country performing with male comics, I'm constantly reminded of just how right she is. Every night after the shows, there are always plenty of girls who want to hang back to flirt with the guys. In the morning, the hotel lobby looks like a runway for the walk of shame. One girl after another stumbling outside, carrying her shoes in her hand and trying to remember where she left her panties. I'm sure the girlfriends of these comics